We're looking at the Malbim and his interpretation of the Eser Makis. We started that in the earliest shiur. We want to continue. We're looking now at the Malbim in Tehillim, in Perek Ayin Ches, which is a perek that's dedicated to the Eser Makis, Asher Sombim Mitzrayim Ososav, Umofsim. The Malbim is very interested in understanding the difference between Osos and Mofsim. And at the same time, he wants to answer the famous question, why is it that in the first two makas of each of the three sets of Datzach, Hadash, Biachav, we have a Hasra, a warning to Paro that if he doesn't let the people go, this is what's going to happen, the makah, the following makah is going to take place. Whereas in the third makah of each of these three sets, there's no Hasra. So the Malbim says in Tillim, Hayu ben hamakos osos umos. And we could divide up the makos into two categories. One is called osos, the other is called mofsim. What are the osos? Osos means a sign or a proof, an indication. And the Malbim says that included in osos are the first two makos of each of the three sets, the purpose of which is to be an os, meaning to be a sign, to be a demonstration, to prove something. And in the case of Dam and Tzfardea, the first two of the first set, the proof, the goal of the os is Metzius Hashem, the existence of God. Then we get to Orev and Dever, Orev and Dever, which are the first two in the second set, the purpose of which is to prove as an os, She'en kamo b'chol ha'aretz. And finally we get to the third level, which is going to be Barad and Arbe, and they are going to prove the infinite power of Hashem. These are called osos. And each one of those osos gets a hasra, because the hasra is going to prove that philosophical basic tenet of the faith. In the case of the third makah in each one of these sets, those are called mofsim, they didn't get a hasra, and the goal and the purpose of those are onish, are to bring about a punishment on the Egyptian people. They've already violated the previous two makos and the warnings therein in each one of the sets, and now they deserve an onish. In the case of the first set, kinim, the second shchin, and the third choshech. And he writes that Rakacher Kol Shnei Kocho Shnei Makos Shoshochli Os V'lo Shomu B'Kolu Nosalem Mofes. After the two makos in each set that preceded the mofes comes, there's a warning. In the case of the third mako, which is called a mofes, there is no warning because they already violated the previous two makos, which had two hasros, warning them to free the Jewish nation. Now, in the pasuk in Va'era, Perek Zayin, pasuk Yud Zayin, Ko Amar Hashem Bizos Teda Ki Ani Hashem. This is the introduction to Makas Dam, the first of the Eser Makas. And Bezos Teda, through this Dam, this Mak of Dam, as we saw, it's an Os, we're going to demonstrate and prove Ki Ani Hashem, that although Paro had denied Hashem, you know, Mi Hashem Asher Eshma B'Kola, who is God, and he scoffed it, but now comes Dam to prove and demonstrate God's existence. When we get to Arov, which is already the second set, there the Pasuk says in Perek Ches, Pasuk Yud Ches, V'Flesi Bayomahu, etc., etc. We'll come back to the beginning of this Pasuk, but the main point now is the end of the Pasuk, L'man Teda Ki Ani Hashem B'Kerev Ha'aretz. And this proves God's involvement in the daily affairs of man, what we call Ashkacha Pratit, divine providence, in this case, to protect Klal Yisrael in Eretz Goshen from the makos of Orov, etc. And that proves that Ani Hashem Bekerev Ha'aretz. Whereas in Dam, it just said Ki Ani Hashem. Here it's Bekerev Ha'aretz. And now we fast forward to Perek Tes in Va'ira, Pasuk Yud Dalid, referring now to the Makov Borod, and there at the beginning of the third set, Ki Bepama Zosani Shalechas Kolma Gifose Libcha, etc., etc. Bavur Teda Ki Ein Kamoni Bechol Haaretz. Not the care of hearts, but Bechol Haaretz, meaning there's no infinite power like that of God anywhere in the entire existing universe. Now let's go back to the Malbim in his Pirush al Torah, and we're looking now at a pasuk in Vayera Perek Zayin Pasuk Yudal Vayomer Hashem al Moshe Kaved Lev Paro Me'ein L'Shaleach Ha'am. Paro's heart is hardened and he refuses to send the people out. And the Malbim says the following. This as a description of the heart of Paro. Again, we're in Perek Zayin, Pasuk Yudal. So this is even before Makas Dam. Says the Malbim, Kol Hasra Hoya Shlach Hasambi. Every Hasra, which would have referred, except we're going to see Dam as the exception, but logically should have referred to the first two Makas in each one of the three sets. Shlach Hasambi. That's what your job is now, to free the people of Israel. Here's the Tanai. If you don't send them out, then you will suffer the Makkah that I brought upon you. Levad Basras Makkah's Dam. In the case of Asras Dam, we find the Hasra without a Tanai. And basically Hashem says in this Hasra, Cheretz, as a result of Mishpato, his Midah of Mishpat, Lahakoso, he will bring upon Dam on the people of Egypt. And Atam, why in this context does Hashem say that I'm going to bring, no matter what, I'm going without conditions, I'm going to bring this Mark of Dam upon the Mitzrim? Ki Yoda Shekove Lev Paro. That's what the Pasuk testifies, that Lev Paro is hardened. And this is even before Hashem brought down any Makkah. No Asro, no Tanai is going to be relevant here, because even if Moshe would give a warning to Paro, he wouldn't take it seriously. And the reason why that's so is because over and over again, Me'ein L'Shloach Hasam, he refused to send out the people. So we know already now up front that Paro is not going to accept the warning and let the people go. So there's no point in making this Hasra into something conditional. The purpose of this Hasra now becomes to establish and prove the existence of God. And when it says Me'ein L'Shaleach Esa'am, that's when we know that there's no point to some sort of conditional Hasra. Paro is entrenched in his ways. The possibility exists, though, that somewhere down the line, when he gets enough punishment and enough makas, maybe he'll soften his stand, change his position, and let the people go. The Malbim goes on to point out, he alech el paro baboker. Now this is the pasuk in Va'era Perek Zayin, pasuk tes, and this is the introduction to Makas Dam. And here we'll read the Psukim here, number 4, Lechel Paro Baboker. And we were wondering why Baboker? In the case of the Asra and Dam, why is it that Moshe is meant to meet up with Paro Baboker? And based on the fact that the purpose of Dam is to establish the Metzius Hashem, the existence of God, Bezos Teda Ki Ani Hashem, after Paro had declared Mi Hashem Asher Eshma Bekolo V'Hikchish Metziuso, Paro had rejected the belief in God, and now with Makas Dam, God's existence is going to be established. Ki L'Daito, according to Paro, Hayor Hu Heloha Hagodol Hamakabel Koach Min Hashemesh. The great God is the Nile, and the greater God on top of the Nile, above the Nile, is the Shemesh, the sense, the sun itself, Shehuaya, which was considered by the idol worshippers Elohe Elohim, the God of gods, L'chol ha'amim ha'kadmonim, amongst all the early nations that occupied the earth. L'chein ha'yamashkim ha'boker. Now, we can begin to put into context the fact that Moshe is told to meet Paro ba'boker, ba'alos ha'shemesh, when the sun rises. Because when the sun rises, that's time for Paro to worship the Eloka that received its koach from the Shemesh, and that's the Mayim, that's the Ya'ar. V'yotze ha'mema lavodes ha'ya'ar. Paro goes out in the wee hours of the morning to serve the Ya'ar, and then Moshe is called upon v'nitzavto likras al sfas ha'ya'ar to encounter Paro there on the sfas ha'ya'ar. And if Paro thinks that the Ya'ar is a godlike figure with mighty powers of its own, well, let's see what happens to the Ya'ar as a result of Makas Dam. Now we move a little bit further in the same Perek Zion, to Psukim Yutes Til Chaf Aleph, which you'll see here on the bottom left of your page, number 18. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe emor al Aaron kach matcho nete yodcha al meimim Mitzrayim. Al narosam, al yoresem, al yoreem, al agmeem, al kol mikveh meimeha, viyu dam, v'hoyedam b'chol eretz Mitzrayim, etc. So we find here is that although the warning on dam came to Paro in a private meeting with Paro at the Ya'ar Baboker, nevertheless, you would think that the Makkah would start, or at least be focused on the Ya'ar, on that specific Nile River, which is where the encounter between Paro and Moshe took place. But yet, and the Malbim is going to be keen to point this out, Aaron is called upon to take the Matah and hit all the water supplies, all the different waterways in Mitzrayim. Even though in the original Hasra, the indication was, let's read it again, Hine Anochi Makeh B'Mateh Asher Yodi Al Amayim Asher Bayar, meaning the Yar itself, but not Yeser Memos, but not other water bodies. But here, Aaron is going to take his mat and hit all the Memos. Kel Amofes Levarim Metzius Hashem. Again, I'm not exactly sure why the Malbim used the word Mofes here. According to his commentary on Tehillim, a more appropriate term would have been Os. Ki El Ha'os Levarim Metzius Hashem Lo Hoyet Tzorch Rak HaKos HaYa'or. For the purpose of demonstrating the existence of God, all that was necessary would be this barest minimum to smite the Ya'ar, Shehi Eloka Paro, which is the God of Paro. And there's no need, therefore, to take the mat and hit the Yeser Memos, other waterways, other water bodies, Shelo Yachsu Lehem Elokus, because nobody attributed to them divine powers. There was another purpose in mind here, in the Kodesh Baruch Hu's mind, not only to prove and demonstrate God's mighty might, but at the same time to bring upon a punishment to the Mitzrayim. And therefore, if only the Nile would have been subject to this transformation to Dam, there's supposed to be plenty of other water faucets and waterways from which to extract water. That wouldn't have been a punishment for the Mitzrim. Lachain Hosif Shita Hosif Sheyate Yodo Baholocha Ubahovachal Stodim Shivzet Tochel Hamaka Almeme Mitzrayim. So if you move the matter around in different directions, Baholocha Bava, then it means that all Meme Mitzrayim would have been included under this curse. And if all the waters in Mitzrayim will be included under this Mak of Dam, that would accomplish Hashem's second goal of punishing the Mitzrim for what they did to Klal Yisrael. So there would be no access whatsoever to Mayim, because the Dam, the Mak of Dam, would not be limited to the Ar, but it would be extended to include all Memos. Now, the Pasuk says, Al Naharosam. Let's go back to the Pasuk for a second. It says, Vayomer Hashem Moshe, Moral Aaron Kach Matko, Netei Yotchal Neimim Mitzrayim V'Al Naharosam. So let's see if we can get a grasp of this Al Naharosam according to the Malbim. And he says the following. Just one second. I lost the place for a second. Here it is. He says, Shehem ha-mispalgi min ya'or Mitzrayim ha-gadol kulam yu dam. So the Naharos here, the rivers, are the tributaries that flow from the Ya'or. And then the Pasuk says, Vayadam b'chol eretz Mitzrayim, meaning even water that's found in wet trees or inside stones, there's some amount of liquid. And the chiddush here is that even though it's not a tributary that's connected or extended from the Nile River, from the Ya'ar, nevertheless, that too would be struck in with an etiyas yad l'chol ruach. And then the pasuk says, "Vayasu kein Moshe v'Aaron kasher tziva Hashem, v'tzalomar Moshe al yedei tzivuyo v'Aaron v'matehu." Aaron was the actual implementer of the makah, but Moshe is also indicated in this pasuk, "Vayasu kein Moshe," because he gave the tzivuy to Aaron. And then it says, "Vayach." Es hamayim asher bayor. It says in the Malbim, Lo hizkir ma shehika yeser nemos. It doesn't emphasize the fact here at this point that the hakko was on the other nemos. It just says vayach es hamayim shezelo ro paro viavodov. Because the os here that's indicating God's greatness was meted out in the presence of Paro and his avodim, and that's what this pasuk means. Vayachas hamayim asher bayor le'enei Paro le'enei avodov v'ze lo nitzach el hamofes v'abirur al metzias Hashem kenal. Since at this point they attributed divine powers to the Ya'ar, all that was necessary in order to establish the Metzius of Hashem was to hit the Ya'ar. Beyond that, it was not absolutely necessary. V'agam shele'eni paro lo huka rak ha-Ya'ar. So you might ask, but the Mitzrim, or at least let's say Paro and his Avodim, did not see the hakah only to the Ar. The pasuk nevertheless emphasized by he adam bechol eretz Mitzrayim, which means again huku af yeser memos. So that means in order to guarantee, as we saw before the Malbim, that this will be a punishment for the Mitzrim, Hashem had to guarantee that all water supplies were cut off to them, that everything, every drop of water that they, the Mitzrim, could have accesses was converted, transformed to dam. So that at the end of the day, the punishment, which made it impossible to have access to any Mayim, was meted out to the entire population, civilization of Mitzrayim. In fact, the Hakah itself was on all the Memos, any water supply and water source in Mitzrayim. But the actual Hakah was done privately, so to speak. What I mean privately, I mean in a smaller. A combination of people, and that's the Ar itself. That Hakar to the Ar itself was in the presence of Paro and Avodah. But again, all of Eretz Mitzrayim, every last citizen was in a situation where he couldn't get Mayim. Now, when does the Mak of Dam terminate? The Pasuk says in Perek Zayin, Pasuk Chafhei, Vayimolei Shivas Yomim Achrei Hakos Hashem Esayor. In other words, there was a 7-day period of the Makkah, and then following the Makkah, there was a 7-day period that would, in a sense, separate the Jewish people from the original Makkah. Says the Malbim, B'makkah zu, with regard to this Makkah of Dam, lo bikesh mi Moshe, God didn't request of Moshe lahasir ha-Makkah, to remove the Makkah, ki lo hisu bo al tnai, sheishalach es ha'am, v'tosir ha-Makkah kenal. That there was no tnai that was formulated, that v'yishach es ha'am, that if Moshe would send a messenger, a representative of the nation, that would be a separate entity. V'tosar ha-Makkah. It means that even though, again, let's reemphasize, there was no asra al-tnai, but nevertheless, B'nai Yisrael understood that once the redemption took place, the Makkah would no longer be a Makkah. Let me correct that. Not once the redemption took place, I should say, but once the Makkah achieved its goal and demonstrated God's existence, then Tosur HaMakkah. Because again, there was no Tanai. And if there was no Tanai, when would the Makkah terminate? Right? In the case of a Tanai, you say, well, with the Kima Tanai, the Makkah would terminate. And the hope would be that at some point there would be a Kiyumat Tanai, and power would redeem the people of Israel. But in a case of Dam, where there was no Asra, because the assumption was that Paro was adamant and he was hard, his heart was hard, he had no intention of letting the people go, in that case, since there was no Tanai, we would assume that as soon as the goal and the accomplishment of the Makkah was achieved, at that point the Makkah would terminate. And now at this point, the Malbim quotes the Abarbanel, and he goes on a tirade against the Abarbanel. He says about the Abarbanel that chipes loses lahamakos seder tivi. The Abarbanel tried to discover and study the natural connection between one makkah and the next. Vayomer, and he says shemakas adam savuva was the cause of Makas Tzvardeya. How so? How does Dam generate Tzvardeya? Kimi ipushe hayor. After all, when the Yor turned to blood, any living being in the Yor died. And there were plenty of nevelos and dogim and who knows what kind of shrotzim and so forth and so on. So this is all a natural result, says the Abarbanel, of the transformation of the Nile into Dam. And now at Tzfardim Lerov, there are many, many Tzfardim now. Haim Livrach Misham. Now they're gonna run away from Mitzrayim. In other words, according to the Abarbanel, the Tzfardim were on the run. Why were they on the run? Because they didn't want to stay in the water. Everything in the water became mu'upash. It was all putrid. And the Tzfarim were running out of the Yor for their lives. V'nichnasu v'batei ha-mitzrim. And they went into the houses of the Mitzrim. I mean, that itself has to be understood. But we had a different shiur once about the Tzfarim. So Ayin Sham, I think it was about 3-4 years ago. Now, what's happening is, according to the Abarbanel, because of this whole sequence or tahalich of ipush hayor and all these terrible putrid things like nevelos hadogim and so forth and so on, the shrotzim, is the tzfardim just run away from the yor? They got to get out of there. And then where do they go? As we said before, they go into Batei HaMitzrim. Now, according to the Barbanel, we go a step further because Kedem is down the line, and he says that because the Tzfardim gathered together Chamorim Nisapish Ha'ofar V'Hoyel Kedem. And after the termination of Makas Tzfardim, the Tzfardim were all piled up one on top of the other, and that also created a very powerful putrid in that penetrated into the Adama. And this shall we say, the impact of this great pile of Tzfardim, of the dead Tzfardim, is going to have with it, when it disintegrates into the offer, is going to have a terrible impact on the ground itself, the land, the dirt itself, and it's going to become Kinim. That's just a summary, a very short synopsis of the Barbanel's approach to the Eser Makis. V'lo yadati, says the Malbim, lama yaktin es anisim v'yitelem shalshelas tivis. He says all that we're getting from this Barbanel is a mute, is to diminish the significance and the stupendous supernatural nature of the miracles. Instead of seeing it as a miracle, the Rabbanel says it's natural. You know, it's as if it would scientifically be predicted that the next Maka would happen. So you have Dam and then Tzfardeh and then Kinim. Each Maka successfully had to happen based on the Teva. And if that be the case, says the Malbim, you're being Maktin es anes. You're really limiting and diminishing the power of the miracle. The Torah went out of its way to exclude this approach. Albert claims that this is the exact opposite of the Barbanel's approach, because the Shivas Yomim, this period of Shivas Yomim after the Akor against the Or, is Kfar Nisrapi Ayor. This is the natural process of the Or returning to itself. V'lo hoyu bo tzfardim, and there were no tzfardim in the Or. V'achkach sharetz hayor tzfardim. It's only later on that there was a production, there was a manufacture of tzfardim. So that basically, according to the Malbim, there's no Sibativit over here. There's no natural phenomenon and cause and cause and effect. The only thing the Abarbanel was right about, says the Malbim, is the Siba Hashgachis, the element of divine providence. Shenosan Bazeh Vehi Hanachona Shoya Onesh Al Rigas Yalde Yisrael. I certainly would like to assume, says the Malbim, that this was all part of Hashgacha Pratit, and that point he agrees with the Barbanel. Shenitmu biyar mitzrim, that the Egyptians should drown in the Yar. That makes a lot of sense because that's the onesh al harigas yalde Yisrael. Bealtzakas haomlolin. Now get this one. What is the message in Dam? So he says, Dmei Ayilodim Hafach Hamayim LeDam, that the Dam that was absorbed into the water as a result of the murder of male Jewish children, that Dam would dominate, and it would sort of be the agent to dye, D-Y-E, to dye all of the Mamos, or at least the Yar for one, in the color of blood. And why is this significant? Because that represents symbolically Dmei HaYelodim, the children, the blood of the children that perished at the hands of the Mitzrim when they were thrown into the Nile. And the Mayim was turned to Dam, and that Dam, How did it gain its luster and so forth from that human blood of Nebuchadnezzar, the babies that were killed there? Okay, now we get to the second stage, which is Tzfardim. What's the connection here to the children in the case of Tzfardim? After all, we're not going to go back to the previous explanation, because then we couldn't get the number 12. I'm not sure you're right that the number 12 is so significant, but meaning the Shvatim and all of Klal Yisrael and the Yeladim that were murdered by the Egyptians, their blood in a sense generated the coloring, the transformation of the water in the Ya'ar to a substance of blood, and that's all part of Hashgacha Pratit to punish the Mitzrim. And in the case of the Tzfardim, Al Tzakas Ha'umlolim Yatzu Atzfardim, as a result of the crying of the babies. Again, this is all metaphysical because the babies were already dead, but maybe the crying as they were dying, as they were drowning, I don't know, but it's a pathetic story because those tzaakos caused the Tzfardim to come out of the Ya'ar. V'nidmela Mitzrim, and the Mitzrim were very confused at this point, very perplexed. They got the impression, Shayaladim Amesim, Olim Min Hayar Bidmus Tzfardim. You know, when you have superstitious people that live with the creed of sorcery and all that, they believe all sorts of ideas, and they came up with the idea that the dead children of the Jewish nation are going up, rising up from the Nile in the guise of Tzfardim. So those Tzfardim are really Jewish babies. And the Tzfardim were letting out a tza'aka, a cry, umiyalalim, umashchisim osam midam imida. And the Tzfardim are crying out, and we are going to destroy the Tzfardim. Adche beboam shenis alamayim, mesuf tavu gamhem, kvosha kosval al, as we would interpret, bidover asher zodu alehem. So it's an amazing nida, connected nida here in the Tzfardim, because the Tzfardim are like spooks. They're spooking out the Mitzrim, because with their cries, the frogs are making noises that are reminiscent of little babies crying. And in fact, the Mitzrim came to the conclusion that the Tzfardim were the Jewish babies themselves, coming up in another, you know, reincarnated into the shape of Tzfardim. And as we said, the Tzfardim can be viewed as representative of the Jewish baby. So any kind of a damage or a plague and a nezek as a result of the Tzfardim is really mida keneged mida, because these are the Jewish babies who are coming now back through the Tzfardim to take vengeance against their oppressors and their murderers. Now, in the case of Tzfardea, instead of Lechel Paro, Hashem commands Moshe Boel Paro. And the answer is because, although in the case of the first Makadam, Hashem wanted Moshe to go out at the crack of dawn, Baboker, to greet and accost Paro, that would only prove God's greatness and God's existence to Paro. Now we have to make it somewhat more public, and that's going to happen in the case of Tzfardea. And the Malbim explains, Shevimaka Shnia Bechola Seder Nitztava Lovel Beso. The command imposed upon Moshe is to come into the house, meaning the palace of Moshe, of Paro. And not only that, it's going to be Emtza Yom, in the middle of the day. The ace, that's the time Sheyeshev HaMelech al Kisei Malchuso, meaning Paro sits on his throne in the afternoon hours. V'chol Sarav Vadev Lefanov, and all of his servants and his officers are in front of him. V'lo Hishkim Baboker, and Moshe was not asked to wake up early in the morning. Sheshem Boker Behar Chavahu Ad Chatzos Hayom. The word Boker, when it's expanded, it means during the morning hours up until noon. And then when the Sarim Vavadim were surrounding the Kisei Malchus of Paro during the morning hours, all of the Sarim and Avodim, but now it's time for the afternoon. Hello, Hishkin Baboker. So now we're up to Emtza Hayom, and here's when Paro is surrounded by his Sarim Vavadim, and Boker is gone already. Why? Because the name Boker, the word Boker, incorporates the entire morning hours until Chatzos, until midday, but not beyond. So what happens to Paro from noon and on? He's no longer out there at the Yaar, but now he comes back to his palace. V'shivto befaltin hoya acher Chatzos. And only after midday did Paro find his way back to his palace. So midday, he's back in his palace, Shivto v'Palterin, Acher Chatzos, and now he's surrounded by Sarav Avodov, the Gam Makazu, and also in this Mak of Tzfardea, Ba'a Levarer Metzias Hashem. The purpose of Hashem here in all these Makas, now we're going to focus on Tzfardea in the afternoon, is to clarify the existence of God. And therefore the Sfardim come out of the Yaar. Again, according to the Barbanel, which is Seder HaTeva, there was a very good reason why the Sfardim came out of the Yaar, and that is because they were running out of the terrible putrid of the Yaar with the Ipush. But according to the Maldim, who maintains a whole different pshat, according to which the Makas Tzfardea was not an extension of Makas Dam, it was rather independent on its own, and it would serve the purpose to clarify the belief in God. And in this case of Tzfardea, Moshe is commanded to meet Paro in the afternoon hours, not during the morning. That's not a good time to interrupt Paro. So in the Boel Paro command to Moshe, there's no, for Tzfardea, there's no mention of Boker, and now we're talking about the afternoon. Paro is back in his palace by the afternoon time, and the Avodim and so forth, the Sarim Avodim are surrounding him. This is the time to demonstrate God's power in the universe. And Makazu Bo Levara Metzius Hashem, that God exists and He's powerful, all powerful. Lachain Bo Mina Yaar. So now I can explain in a more symbolic way why the Tzfardea was brought in from the Yaar. Sheikh Ziku Bo Sheikh Ziku Oso Mitzrayim Leloha. Since the Egyptians attributed the powers of a deity to the Yaar, to the Nile, therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to make sure that the Nile would become now a vehicle of proving and establishing Emes. Not Sheker, but Emes. And he says, Lachain ba min ha'yaar sheikh ziku oso Mitzrayim leloha. So any... Just review that last point, that since the purpose of the Makkah Ashniya of Tzfardea was also, like the first one, to demonstrate the existence of God, therefore the Makkah was on the Tzfardea. And how is that relevant to this whole process of punishing the Mitzrim? It's because God wants the Tzfardim to damage the nation, to attack the nation of Mitzrayim, to go into their homes. As we said before, they represented, so to speak, at least in the minds of the Mitzrim, the departed souls, the murdered victims, the children who were killed by the Mitzrim. And Heresh Eloka Shel Paro Hamuka Yishma Lepkudas Hashem Lalos Atzfardim Lahashkis Eretz Mitzrayim. And this would prove that the Tzfardim would obey the command of Almighty God to destroy the country of Mitzrayim. Adshe Eloha HaYaar, let the God of the Yaar desire whatever he desires. And again, in the eyes of the Mitzrim, the belief of the Mitzrim, the Ya'ar was the source of bracha and the growth for Mitzrayim, and now it's going to be devastated by the entire process of the Eser Makkah, specifically by Dam, Tzfardea, and that's what's going to happen. Now, the Malbim adds another point here, apparently alluding to a Medrash, that Ata Amartali Ya'ori Ere Oscha Ya'ori. In other words, Paro was boasting about his Ya'or. Ere Oscha, I'm going to show you, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who Shalil Shalcha, who really owns the Ya'or. Shamakoso mimeni tovo olav, that my mak is going to come onto the Ya'or. Atah Gozer Olav, you might tell whatever you want to the Ya'or, but ultimately my decree is going to control the Ya'or. V'umal, and the Ya'or is going to lead to the Aliyah Satzfardim, the Tzfardim to come up from the Ya'or. K'shem Shigazarti Alamayim B'tchila, just if like we go back to Bereishis, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the waters, then he commanded the waters, Yishu to Amayim Sheretz Nefesh Chaya. So going back to the dawn of creation, the Mayim listened and obeyed the will of God and generated the Nefesh Chaya. And just as then the Mayim obeyed and fulfilled my tzivui, so too now the Ya'or is going to fulfill my tzivui, v'yalu es hatzfardiyah. Now, at the end of tzfardiyah, Moshe turns to Paro and he says, L'mosai atir l'cha. Now, Paro is complaining, he wants to see the termination of this makkah of tzfardiyah. So Moshe challenges him and says, well, when do you want this makkah to terminate? I'll pray and it'll terminate exactly when you tell me it should terminate. Vayomer l'machar. So what's this machar all about? So the Malbim has a very interesting pshat on the l'machar. Based on the Zohar, with this he's going to embellish also a sugi in brachos about Eliyahu HaNavi, Ein k'shafim sholtin rachmi chatzos hayom. The power of the kshafim and these sorcerers and these demons is limited to a post-noon, afternoon period of time until midnight. But during the hours between midnight and chatzosim till noon, ein kshafim sholtim. So therefore, since Paro believes or suspects that Moshe is pulling off some kishuf over here, therefore he says, why don't you get rid of this makkah, in this case tzfardeya, before noon, l'mochar, meaning in the morning hours, and during those morning hours there's no kishuv. So let's see if you can pull this off at a time when there's no kishuv, because the premise of Paro was that Moshe was pulling off sorcery, and this sheds a light on the Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara in Brachos is talking about the significance and the power of tefilas mincha. It says in the parsha of Eliyahu, it says, "Vayhi ba'alos ha-mincha." After davening mincha, "Vayigash Eliyahu anovi omer," and here's where Eliyahu does the great miracle against the Baal people, and then he turns to Hashem, Eliyahu, and he cries out and he supplicates, "Anani Hashem anani," and the Gemara says in the name of Rav Chalba, Rav Huna, that Anani Hashem Anani means Anani Sheteret Eish Min Hashamayim V'Anani Aneni Shelo Yomru Maisek Shofim Heim. In other words, the fear was that the whole point of the miracle at the time of Eliyahu would be lost, the whole goal and achievement would be lost because they would attribute it to Kshofim rather than to the divine power. And in fact, what did Eliyahu do? He surrounded the Mizbeach with a ta'ala of mayim. Again, there were various miracles here that took place, that the water that was poured by Elisha, the disciple of Eliyahu, Yudei's kadim mayim, 12 jars full of water, and the miracle happened that there was a talas mayim gedola, a tremendous waterway that was created around the Mizbeach. And the fire that came down from Shamayim, Lichacha Samayim Asher B'Ta'ola. Now this ness was important because Chazal tell us that the anti-force, the antidote to the Kshafim is Mayim. and therefore there's no way that the people could have attributed the Eish to Kishuv, because the Mayim was forming a barrier to the Eish, and yet the Eish was overcoming the Mayim, and that would be impossible b'derech HaKishuv. And all this is important after Mincha, because the Tefillah of Mincha is a special school of power. And after Eliyahu davened Mincha, then he was able to create a miracle, to generate a miracle that would guarantee that no one could blame it or attribute it to Kishuv, because it happened with the Mayim. And here too, Paro, who's afraid and suspicious of Moshe of operating with Kishuv, some sort of sorcery, therefore he says Lamachar, meaning Lamachar Baboker, Sheef Shalasos Kshafim, because as we said before, the power of the Kshafim is limited to the afternoon, it doesn't apply in the morning. So Moshe Rabbeinu says Kidvarecha, and that's exactly what's going to happen, and tomorrow the Tzvardim are going to be removed in the morning. And this culminates with the pasuk Vayomer Kidvarech Lamad Teda Ki Ein Hashem Ein Kashem Elokeinu, that this is not the power of Kishuv, but this is the ultimate power, the omnipotent power of God. So Moshe shows up Paro and he says, look, there's no power of Kshafim now, but nevertheless God brought about the termination of Makas Tzfardea. The Malon points out, Laman Teda Ki Ein Kashem Elokeinu, the name of God Elokeinu is indicated here, because this is the Poel Din. God of Elokim is representative of justice, of din, of meeting out punishment, Bavas Hamaka, but yet it's called Hashem Elokeinu Yud Kei Vav Kei Zrachamim, because Poel Rachma Bahasoras Hamaka. So there's Elokim, which is the din that's poel, that generates the makah, and then there's Hashem, which is rachamim, that removes the makah and terminates it. And that's the remez of Hashem Elokeinu. Moving on to the next set of psukim, Yud Gimel and Yud Dalid, Vayasu Kein Vayet Aaron Es Yodo V'Mateo V'Yachas Afara Oretz. Aaron is now the shliach to hit the offer and create kinim, vatiya kinam ba'adam uva'behema. Vayasu kena chartume bilotayem lahotzias akinim v'lo yacholu vatiya kinam ba'adam uva'behema. So whatever the chartumim could try to do, they weren't successful in neutralizing the power of the kinam. The kinam continued to attack adam uva'behema. Says the Malbim, Hashem Amar Sha'ofar Ha'oretz Yekinim V'zeu Ikar Hamofes V'siper HaKosuv Sha'akina V'haknima, meaning the creation of the Kinim, Hiskil Bi'odam U'behema U'mehem Nispashtu Ala Ofar. So the kinim actually attacked human beings and animals first, and then spread to the offer. And the reason for this, as the Malbim, is bal yitushu inyan tivi, not to take the approach of the Barbadel, that this is something that could work through the forces of nature, that there would be ipush in the afara aretz as a result of the tzfardiyim, and that would cause the kinim. But rather, the kinim originated in the Adam of Behema. That's number one. Gami says, furthermore, Ramaz Amashkosu Bepirish Tehillim Vayoro Arov Kinim Bechol Gvulos Kfol Gvulam, which means that Makas Kinim Lo Sarimehem. Even at the time of Makas Arov, there was still Kinim Benishiru Bechol Anshe Adarahu. So it means that even after the Mak of Orv was brought, the Kinim was still active, attacking Adam Ubehema. Vatiya Kinam be Adam Ubehema, Ratzalom Shenishar Ubehem Liola. That this Kinim continued for all of posterity. Shekvar Kosafti Shemakas Kinim Lohoya Lohoros Ezidovrak Lahakasom Makas Bizoyan. Because Kinim was not there to prove and demonstrate anything about God and His power, but rather to punish the Mitzrim, and lochein lo ba srova lo sar mehem gam acharkach. It never came through Asra, and it never terminated. Now, what is it about Makas Orov that establishes some truth about God as the first and the second series? So the Pasuk says about Orov, Viflesi Bayomahu es Eretz Goshen. It means that Eretz Goshen was not affected by the Orov. Asher Ami Omeid Oleho. It doesn't say Asher Ami Yoshev Oleho, referring to the Jewish settlement in Goshen, but Omeid Oleho. We'll see what that means. And Levilti Ayosham Orov. So the Flesi here, the star contrast, the division was between the rest of Mitzrayim and Eretz Goshen. Laman Teda Ki Ani Hashem Bekerev Haaretz. That God has divine providence on what goes on in this earth. Asamti Pindus Bein Ami Ubein Amech. I'm here to protect my Jewish people and my nation. They will be saved from and spared from Orov. Says the Abarbanel, I'm sorry, I scratched that. Says the Malbim, Kasher Sar, Seder Azeh Hasheni Shal Adash, Bo Levara Pinas Hashgacha, Paro Lohem in Shashem Elio Mashgiach Pekerev Haaretz. God is up there in the spheres, but Paro denies God's involvement down here, Bashgacha Pratis, on this earth. Is therefore Laman Tedek Yani Hashem Bekerev Haaretz. And this is going to be demonstrated and proven by the Hiflesi Efle es Eretz Goshen Shesham lo ye Orov. And why will there be no Orov in Eretz Goshen? But that's because Ami Omeid Oleh, my people are standing there, so to speak, in Goshen. Havdolah zu sheivdil Eretz Goshen b'zeu inyan mufla v'nisi. This is miraculous, because once the Orov came and attacked, it would certainly go naturally, which it would have gone into Eretz Goshen as well. What's the language of Ami Omeid Oleh? So he quotes a medrash in the name of Ami, Ka'adam Sha'omer Lechavero Lo Yitol Ploni, etc., etc. That Lashon Omeid means not yeshiva, but Omeid Oleh, which means protecting it, so to speak, that there was a protection over Eretz Goshen by Ami, by the people of Israel. Says the Malbim, Haim, meaning the Jews, Yagenu Al Ha'aretz, Lebilti Hayosham Arov, their existence, their Amida in Eretz Goshen is going to prevent the Arov from penetrating into Eretz Goshen. Ki Makas Dam Vitzvardein Kanchis, Dam Tzvardeya Shinim Tzagambi Eretz Goshen, because Eretz Goshen was not exclusively Jewish, they were also Mitzrayim who lived in Eretz Goshen. They were affected by Dam and Tzvardeya. Only the Jews were saved and spared from Dam Tzvardeya, but in case Makas Arov, there was no Arov at all in Goshen, not even Bebatei Mitzrayim. So the Mitzrayim were saved and spared by the fact that Klai were omeid on Eretz Goshen. They didn't allow any Arov, so to speak, to enter into Eretz Goshen. Ki anishim bekerev haaretz, and kerev haaretz means the hashgachim yucheres over the Jewish people, tzon mar isai, in Eretz Goshen. Vesamti pidus, and here the Ramban says that the word pidus is miloshem pidyon, that even if there would be a person amongst the Jewish people stuck in Mitzrayim at the time of the Arov would not attack the Ish Yisrael, but the Arov has to get its food, and therefore there's a Lashon Pidus that the Mitzri would be killed by the Arov, would be attacked by the Arov in place of the Jew. So the Arov would get its due, that's what's coming to him, and the pigeon here would be the Mitzri replacing a Jew. That's considered a Mitzri Yiftes Yisrael Miyadon. That's the pigeon here. And then finally, the Machar Yeh Ha'os Hazeh, which means that here, says the Malbim, it doesn't say Machar Yasa Hashem Es Hadavar Hazeh, but Machar Yeh. There earlier, when we spoke about Tzvardeya, it said Vayasa Hashem Es Hadavar Hazeh Mimachras. Let's go back to that pasuk. But here it says Lemachar Yeha Osazeh. And then it says, Vayas Hashem Kain, Mevuash Hashem Asus Adover Takef. Ratzlom ki bashar chayos shochnim v'yaros v'chokim in a yishuv. The animals live out in the forest, which is far from the settlement. Tziva Hashem shetekev yaschilu latzeis mimonoseim. The animals will pack on a mass out of their forest, the location, their homes. Olechas alari mitzrayim, to go into the cities of Mitzrayim and enter their inn. Shezet tzarch zman ad lemocha. That's going to take a period of time until tomorrow. The imkein apkuda, the command, shachayis yelchum imkoman hiskel tekev, immediately the animals were commanded to leave their local, you know, domestic location. But lo hiskel lahashis, at what point would they finally start destroying the possessions, the batim of the mitzvah? That's going to be lamachar, after they all gathered together the next day, vaz niya ha'os, and then they'll see the demonstration of God's power when the Oro begins to destroy Mitzrayim. Because again, the Oro are not going to penetrate as far as Eretz Goshen. There were forests and desert areas that were occupied by beasts, by wild animals in Eretz Goshen itself. Those animals would pack out of Eretz Goshen on their way to Mitzrayim. So all the animals are converging on Mitzrayim. V'ad l'machar, by the time the next day dawned, is lo nimtzav Eretz Goshen afchayachas, there wasn't one animal left in Eretz Goshen. It was completely free of animals. V'nasa os v'amosves al pinas hashgacha, and this would demonstrate clearly the hashgacha of Hashem bekerev ha'aretz. Okay, now in the next section, which is Pasuk Chofei in Perek Ches, it says Vayomer Moshe hinei anochi yotzei mimach ve'atarti al Hashem v'sar ha'orev miparo me'avodah me'amo mochar rak al Yosef paro ha'sel lebilti shalach ha'am lizboach l'Hashem. And this is again the beginning of the second series, and therefore there's going to be Asra telling Paro that he must free the Jewish people, otherwise there's going to be another Makkah. Vayomer Moshe, says the Malbim, Heshiv lo shlo yia kasher chashavta. It's not like you thought, Paro. Shlo tosar amakat shetishlenu lavod v'sham nispal olecha. Lo kenki anochi otzei me'imach v'etarti al Hashem tekev v'yaser ha'orev mochar. Ki kemosh ha'yitzarech mahalach yom echad ad she'igia ha'orev m'nei ya'orem ala ha'orev Mitzrayim ki tzarech yom b'chazor ad she'agiu al ma'onechem. So it's going to take a day until the Arov returns to their original locations in the Ya'arim and Midbaris. Hagam Shani is Pal Tekef, but you should know that even though I'm praying immediately to terminate the Makkah of Arov, but Lo Yosim and Arov Sad Lomachar, until the Arov leaves the land, it's going to take a full day. Ki Yishi Yom Echab Ali Chosov, and that's when it's going to end. Rak Al Yosef Paro Hasel, Ratzalom Hashem Yisakev Arov, Achetishlach Esa'am Yeh Nireshata Sholcham Mipnei Hechrech Hamaka Uba'ones. If I would allow the animals to delay, to dilly-dally and remain behind until finally you send my people free, then it will look like you sent the people free because you were forced to do so. Hashem Rotz L'Nasos, but God wants to test you, Tekayim Dvarecha. If Dvarecha, meaning the Dvar of Hashem, will you stand up and rise to the challenge of freeing the Jewish people? Achar Shetos, even after the Makkah is terminated. Below Sosif, Hasel, Kamosha Sisa, B'Makas HaTzfardim. You won't continue to make fun as you did after Tzfardim, but after Arov, you'll finally get the message and you'll come across with the good, so to speak, and you'll free the Jewish people. Nation. Vayas Hashem kidvar Moshe v'yosar v'miparo me'avodav v'miyamu lo nishar echad. In other words, immediately after Paro prayed to Hashem, immediately following that prayer, the Arov started their trek to leave the batin, to leave the house of the mitzvim, and to return back to their original ma'on, that place where they live in the Aros, etc. Lo nishar echad. And what does it mean, lo nishar echad? It doesn't say lo nosar echad, sha nishar hu b'kavana. Moshe Kosev b'kol makom ki Mitzrim ratzu lahashem mehem ulehenos maroseim lo nismal ritzono. So if it would have just said lo nosar, you wouldn't understand that every last animal would leave. Lo nishar means there wasn't even one left over because the Mitzrim wanted to hold on to some of the animals and use them for their purposes, but that desire on the part of the Mitzrim never came to fruition. Vayom Hashem al Moshe boel paro vidibarta elav ko amar Hashem al keo ivrim shalach es ami v'yavduni. And in all the other asros, the Malbim points out, it always says v'amarta elav. Here it says vidibarta elav. And the difference between dibur and amira is that dibur is a holchacha. You know, when you castigate and chastise someone, you do it with a dibur. And he says that b'chol amakis hayulo brera gam acher sheba amakol shalech esam v'tasser amakol lachein ba amir pshuta v'amakas dever sheberega echad mesu kol hamikna hayitzarach l'svakeach imo be'erech be'orech ba'eis ha'asro l'ashivo midarko gyakach lo yoil mashishcharit. So that the response of Paro, the agreement to send the Jewish people, had to come immediately with the Hasra for Dever. Dever was Berega Echad. Everything happened in 1 second. All the Mikneh died in 1 second. So there's no time to debate this unless immediately you, Paro, agree to send Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. And that's hinted to and alluded to by the word dibur v'dibarta elav as opposed to v'yomarta elav. There's a lot more in the Malbim, but this is enough. We'll have to end the shiur now. It's getting late. And if somehow miraculously we have more time to continue, we'll do that b'li neder tomorrow.